Okay. So let's talk about Adama Mazik. Yeah, so we're there's much, of course, much more, you know, to talk about in terms of Bor. You can see that Bor is a very, very rich topic. But I want to move on to the next part. We can't do everything as thoroughly as we would like. So the next issue, of course, is Adam. I think we began reading. If not, we're going to do that now. So again, the Gemara, again, the context still is going through all of the different Avos HaZikin. Ostensibly, these, you know, Gemaras are going through them in order to identify Rav Papa's... Welcome back.
Thank you.
We've missed you.
I'm sure.
It's been very quiet.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, we've been looking at, candidates for Rav Papa's Toldos Seyem Lav Kiyotze Behen. And so far we've come up empty, but the Gemara, you know, continues to put in the effort, you know, to leave no stone unturned. So we've gone through the three shores, which is Keren, Shein, and Regel, and then we just went through Bor, and so now we're up to a small discussion of Adam. We're using this, obviously, this opportunity to expand upon across the Masechta some of the main Gemaras. And today, we'll talk about Adama Mazik. Again, we're not going to do it comprehensively, but we will at least touch some of the questions, some of the issues. So the Gemara says here on Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, El Atolda de Bor Kibor, V'chi Kamar Papa Atolda de Mave. Okay, this is 3, 6, 7 lines down from the top of the page. So the Gemara says, "My nihu." You know, when it comes to Mave, the question is simply, you know, to define it. Like, what is Mave of the Mishnah? And again, since we've read this Gemara several times for other reasons, we already know the issue. Ila Shmuel, the other Mave is a Shein. Shmuel is of the opinion that Mave is Shein. Shein we discussed already. Ho Kimna Tolda de Shein, Kashein. We've already established that the Toldos of Shein are not Rav Papa's Lav Kiyotze Bahen, they are in keeping or in line with Shein itself. But Ila Rav, Rav's of the opinion that Mava is Adam, the Amar Mava's Adam, my Avos, my Toldos, Isbe. If we're talking about Adam, then what do we mean by Toldos? Okay, and the truth is the Gemara doesn't really ask this exact question by the others, because it's an interesting, it's like a curious small little point, but when it comes to Shein and Regel and Keren, even in Bor, it's obvious to the Gemara that they're going to be Toldos, because, you know, the category is defined by a paradigm, but there's no reason to think that particular paradigm is so narrow, you know, that it wouldn't have Toldos. But if we're talking about Adam, part of the yichus of Adam is, you know, the direct input, you know, in other words, for the first time we're discussing, you know, where the bank account or where the tashlumin come from, the source of the nezek. That's the whole charm of Adama Mazik, right? In the case of Bor and Keren and Shein and Ragel, you know, you have A does the Mazik, and the question is whether B, the owner, or, you know, the person who's connected to it, in the case of Bor, is obligated to pay. But the charm in Adama Mazik is precisely that, you know, the Mishalim, or the would-be Mishalim, is the Mazik. So that's why I think that's why the Gemara asks this question, my Toldos Isbe, like, what are Toldos? You know, the whole point of Adam is, seemingly what's significant about Adam is the fact that, you know, that the responsible party is himself the Mazik. So where's the Tolda in that? Says the Gemara, "V'chitema av nior told the Yashen." Maybe it refers to the same person, obviously, unlike, you know, Eish, we'll see soon, you know, has avano sakino maso, you know. And, you know, Shein isn't always Shein, you know. But here it's got to be Adam, because again, that's what makes this singular. But it doesn't have to be Adam in the same state, right? It could be Adam you know, in different dimensions of his existence or of his behavior. So the Gemara originally thought that, you know, sleeping man and awake man, or man in wakened state, are one is the Av and the other is the Tolda. Says the Gemara, Vatnan, but then we learn in the Mishnah, which we're going to get to in a minute, later on in Daf Chavav, that Adam Muad Le'olam, that a man is always considered a Muad, meaning he, you know, is always held accountable fully for what he does. And the Mishnah, first thing the Mishnah does to exemplify that Muad Le'olam, all of which relates to the paradigm of case, is to say, Bain Er, Bain Yashin. Whether he's in a you know, a state of being awake, or whether he is sleeping, right? So Er and Yashen are not Nav and Tolda; they're, you know, just two hechitimtzis of the Av of Adam Muad Le'olam. Ella says the Gemara, maybe it means Akicho V'Nio, whatever that means exactly. The details are not so important, but something that issues from Adam, right? But that he, you know, that seems you know, that comes from him. It's kocho in a way, but it's spitting or you know, some other liquid or something that comes from the body. He is the one who propels it forward, and it, you know, it issues from him, but it isn't him. Namely, it's not he being mazik with his limbs, let's say, not with his hands and his feet or his head, you know, or his back or whatever. But rather, something which, you know, is part of, comes from his body, issues from his body, but then is separate from his body. So let's say, you know, spinning is certainly one of the things that we're talking about. Kicho v'nio. So the Gemara says, Hei chadami, ibahadi ta'ozli kamazki, if the damage is done, right, as the projectile that issues from his body, you know, as it's being propelled, then kocho habe, right? E basar denayich, if the damage takes place after, you know, whatever it is that came from him, right, is now stationary. He say he spit, so, you know, the saliva, you know, is now sitting on the ground, you know, and someone tripped over it. Okay, whatever. So the point is that is not Koach Adam, that can't be a told of Adam, right? Bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel, right? Hainu bor, that would just be a bor, because you know, you dig a bor. So here you made a you know, a sticky surface, you know, and the person, that's a takala, and the person you know, became damaged as a result of encountering that takala. So it starts with Maisa Adam, but it's not Maisa Adam that Kumvase does the damage. It's the Hechatimsi for a boar, right? So Ella told it about it, Kimabe.
The differences in the Pratim, just to get back in the
You're screen. Back. Yeah, right? I'm sorry, would there be a difference between?
Yeah, no, no. If it's a boar, yeah, the parameters of boar, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to if this were something that was other mamazi kocho v'n,
right,
then yeah, maybe it's different. Maybe it's not bor.
No. What we're saying is that the koch, if that's what the Gemara is saying, the, one of the characteristics of other mamazi is that it's mekumbase, is that it's always active. So what they're saying is that, you know, kocho, as long as it's mazik bahadi de ka'azli, like you spit and the spit, you know, pokes the fellow's eye out. I don't know. It causes him an infection. Whatever it is, right? So that's Adam. But the point is, after it's stationed already and then the other person walks into it, that's bor. So that's no longer told of Adam. The only thing that is open question here is what the Gemara thinks about. Why don't they just say, well, what's so terrible about kocho? The Gemara says, if it's kocho, right? Ela kicho v'niyo hechadami, iba de kazli, right? Kamazki, kocho hava, so what? So I'm not saying, and it's kocho, and therefore? So Rashi explains that kocho, right? Ela, kochos gufo. Either kazmal shenafel al shirayim, the tinfuad ruins something, or the tochamashkim, or it ruins a drink. Kocho hu vahainu adam gufo v'chai. That's not so obvious. Right? Because you could have said that that adam is, you know, only as long as it's attached. You know, again, he damages with his body, with his limb. If he damages with something that issues from his body, right, even though it's directly connected to him, that isn't so obvious. The truth is, if you look at the Maror Makomos here, the Rambam actually disagrees.
Why can't the Gemara just suggest that Tolda Adam is his children? The parents are something older than his children.
What does that mean?
That's a Tolda.
I mean, Ella told us Yitzhak ben Avraham.
No, you're responsible for the breakage.
No, but you're not.
Huh?
But you're not.
You're not?
No. Kiyasan Ra.
All those years.
I mean, I don't want to tell you that.
Yeah. But if your minor child breaks the window, you're not responsible for the damage?
I mean, that's the din of Katan. Right? Katan is Patur. Kevashot of a Katan. They're bardas. You can't control what they do. You're a parent. What? No, this is that we discussed this earlier in the year. That's why I'm saying it is such a dover pasha. I mean, we discussed it regarding Chovel. You have the Mishnah regarding Chovel, if you look later on, right? That's, you know, Kereshanta v'katan, what is it? P'kiyasan Ra. Right? The Mishnah discusses, yeah, I don't want to get into the whole thing again, but, you know, the Mishnah discusses the relationship between, I'm not going to go into the writer, but the Mishnah discusses the relationship between Avdo and Ishto, right? Both of whom are Pgiyasan Ra, and then Katan, right? But we discussed earlier in the year. Then we discussed the problem of, whether you're mechatel, what happens when Lakishan is gadel, right? So, or Lakishan is garish in the case of Ishto, or Lakishan is shtachrer in the case of Eved. So the Mishnah says that when the Eved goes free, when the Isha is no longer, married, then they're obligated to pay, right? The question, they're obligated to pay.
The Eved and the Isha.
But the Mishnah doesn't say anything. This is in Chabal, about Ketanim. There's a debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim regarding whether or not you compare the Or Zeruah discusses this, and we discussed in the beginning of the year when we were talking about. So the question also, there are two questions. Number one, Likashen is Gadol, does a Ketan have an obligation parallel to it? The difference being that an Isha and an Eved are Bardas Lagamri. Right, the only reason that they are patur is because legally, you know, their status is fused with that of the husband / owner in terms of financially, and therefore that's why it's pikiyasan ra. That's why you can't collect from them, because, you know, they could create damages all the time. So it's a kind of a knasta raisa, or it's a din. You know, I'm sorry, knasta raisa, or it's a din daraisa. The very fact that they could shows that they're independent minded. So, but either way, we understand why they pay afterwards. The question is, what about Kereshot V'Katan? Because they're minors, right? So it could be their actions are not, you know, binding on them. It's not a technicality, it's more than that. So that's one question. And then the second question, very closely related to it, is what is the relationship between Chovel, Adam HaMazik, and Nizkimam? Are you going to distinguish between any of these three categories regarding this question? Okay. Either way, the point is that a little mazik, a little adam mazik, is not a mazik in his own right. Right? I mean, he may not pay, but you're not going to pay for him. Right? Okay. So, okay. So what's fascinating is that the Rashi says that kocho, right, is gufo. But if you ask me, that is not such a davar pashut at all. So if you look here in the Rambam that we have in these pages, I believe in Perek Vav, pretty sure I put it in. Second. Yeah. Perek Vav, Halacha Yud. This is page 5, and it's starting from 24. Rav Mechoschovo, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud. Echad Hamazik Biyado, Osha Zarak Evan, Oyara Chait, Vihizikbo. Okay, so Mazik Biyado is with his limb, typically, right? Zarak Evan, Oyara Chait, is, throwing a projectile of some sort, a stone and an arrow, right? Osha Potra Mayim Al Chaver, that's interesting. I mean, he let loose, he picked up the blockade, the dam, directed, the full force of the water, to damage, a person or a thing, or al kalim, right? Al kadera or al kalim, vihizik. O shirok, right? Una, he spit or he did some other, ejected, something from his body. The hizik bekicho v'nio, the ace shaholchu mikocho. That's exactly what our Gemara. That's where the Ram got it from. But the Ram says harei ze kimazik biyado, the heim toldo shaladom. The Ram says it's equivalent of mazik biyado, but these are toldos. Avlam noch harok v'hikiach ala aretz v'achakach nitkal b'hen adam. If the land, if the projectile that issues from him, right, become stationary at some point, right, and somebody trips over it, harezachai v'shimboro, shakol takala told the bor kamosha biarn. That's based on our Gemara. The only thing that's worth noting, and that's why I'm noting it, is that Rashi says that when the Gemara says that's kocho, it means kocho harehu gufo, implying, although it doesn't say it absolutely explicitly, that that's not a tolda, that's part of the av. Right, whereas the Rambam doesn't think that that's what the Gemara means. Right, the Rambam thinks that kocho is a tolda. So what does the Gemara mean? That's kocho. It sounds like it's just a shortcut for saying, well, of course it's going to be kiyotzebo, because even though it's a tolda, it's kocho. So who really cares? Okay, so two ways to read the Gemara. Now the truth is that matters. Maybe there's still some nafkamina that, is possible from all of this. Like, let's say you have koach kocho. Would it be koach kocho if it's, one step removed from some projectile or some, according to Rashi, this is gufo. And, the next thing would be, the first thing would be kocho. Right? And according to the Rambam, maybe it would be koach kocho. But and conceptually, it's an important question, right? Whether or not things that issue from your body are really considered gufo or koko. So there are. It is an important question, and we'll get back to it. I think it has to do also with possibly with the Rambam's view, which we'll get to it. Eishem shemchitzav, which is a step removed, certainly from kicho v'nio, right? Because that's koach achaburabo. It's a case where you do something, but you harness the power of teva, of some other force, right? And you direct it or utilize it. So again, it's interesting. The Gemara has a debate whether Eishem Shemchitzav, Eishem Shemohono. But I'll just tell you now, but I'll also let out the secret now, in my opinion, certainly anyway, that it's pretty clear that the Rambam, at least Lahalacha, kind of scaled back on what Eishem Shemchitzav means. Now, it isn't Adam HaMazik 100%. I suspect that that's a little bit connected to his view here. In other words, if you already start with the perspective that kocho, that kicho b'nio, kocho is not gufo but is a tolda, right? So then, koch acher meurav bo kocho is another step. It's kind of what I was saying a second ago about koch kocho. It's like a little bit more of a step. Not it's not fully koch kocho, but it's it's a step more removed. Whereas if you think that kocho means gufo, right, you still might say that chitza doesn't qualify. You know? But you're a lot closer to the, you're beginning a lot closer to the source, is what I'm trying to say. So I think in terms of other areas of halacha too, like what is the status of kocho for other things? For shkita, for netilas yadayim, we'll get to Eshem Shem Chitza, we'll talk for Rotzeach. This might be enough for Nizkei Mamon. If you really think that it's gufo, then probably, you're likely to think anyway that it is sufficient for other things too. Default, unless you say, the definition of gufo is different. Whereas for the Rambam, this is a step removed. It's already a tolda, so you have to wonder whether or not toldos of Adam work in all areas of halacha. Maybe Rotzeach, and maybe Hilchos Shabbos, and maybe Shchita, and maybe Netilas. These are all issues that come up in Eshem Shemchitza, and they come up in other things, obviously, too. But using gravity and Sugin Sanhedrin, Ayin Zayin, we'll get to it. But I'm just this interesting argument between Rashi and the Rambam, A, there are two ways to read the Gemara. B, as I say, it's an interesting objective argument. And C, it may have implications, in Eshem Shemchitzav, and then also in just Kocho itself, regarding other Tchumim of Halacha. Okay? So that is just something to be aware of and to think about. Either way, the Gemara concludes that that this is certainly not our man, if you don't mind the pun, I guess. Adam HaMazik is not Rav Papa's told the same lav ki yotzavahin, right? And therefore, we have to still look elsewhere. I might as well just continue this for another minute. Ela told the mava kimava, the chikamar papa told the esh. Okay, we're going to do Adam a little bit first, but told the esh. So the Gemara says, told the esh, my niu. What's that? Okay. Ilei ma'avonos sakina maso shenicham barosh gago v'nafla beruach mitzuya v'hiziku, right? If it means you put something, an object that has weight, right, mass, and you put it in a place where a ruach mitzuya is liable, right, to carry it, right? So hechadami, what's the scenario? Exactly the same thing we said before. If the damage that it does is while it's being, thrust forward by the ruach, then hainu esh, that is esh. Maishna esh to kochakam meurabo mamoncha ushmirasan alecha. Hanadami kochakam meurabo umamoncha ushmirasan alecha. Right? Meaning, in both cases, you have kochachar mu'ura, but you're harnessing, some natural force, and it should be your obligation to rein this in, to anticipate this, in other words, and to control it, or to prevent it. And therefore, Ela told that the esh should be ke'esh. V'chi kamra papa told that the regel. So what is our papa's halacha? We've seen this muskan already. The answer is regel. So regel, as the Gemara says, Koko Kimna told the regal Karego. When we did Shane, we did regal. But we already established Karen, Shane, regal, Bor, Adam, now Eish. They're all of them Kiyotzebahem. Says the Gemara, finally, Bechatzi Nezek, Tzroros, the Hilkasa, Mirila. There's a special halacha Moshe Misinai called about the din of Chatzi Nezek, Tzroros. An animal is walking. And it, in addition to the walking, so it ends up, causing some stone or whatever it is to fly off and do damage. That's called tsroros. And hilchos gemirah that you pay chatzi nezek. But my korle told it a regel. Why is it regel? L'shale minu aliyah, because unlike palganizka knasa, right, chatzi nezek of tam, in Karen, first, times that the animal gores, that's only mishalim migufo. You can't collect the half that you're entitled to, right, unless that half, right, is less than the value of the animal that's mazik. You can only collect mikufo. But when it comes to chatzi nezik tsoros, these are both dinim daraisa, just to make it clear. The only chatzi nezeks that we know in dinei nezek, right, are chatzi nezek of tam, pulgan is knasa, we paskin knasa, even though it's a debate whether it's knasa or mamona, we discussed that already. So you're later on in daf tesvav, or papa and ravuna. So that's one. And the other one is this, palganizka of or chatzinezek of tsroros. But the tsroros is a tolda of regel. A, it happens through regel. B, like regel, you're mishalem min ho'aliyah, not migufo. Meaning there's no limitation, right, on the amount that you pay due to or by virtue of, right, the more limited value of the object or the animal itself. So, for example, let's say the animal is worth $100 and the animal does $300 of damage. Okay? So in Chatzi Nezek Tsroros, right, you're going to have to pay $150 even though the animal is worth only $100 because you have to pay half of the Nezek. And you're Mishali Min Aliyah, meaning from his assets. In Palganizka Knasa, right, if the damage is $300 and the animal is worth $100, you can't pay more than $100. Right? Even though that's less than half. Right? Again, what's the logic behind it? It's Gzeiros HaKasuv. Or, I think there's a logic behind it. The more you think, this goes back to our Karen discussions. If you think in Karen that the animal did it, you know, but of course it's your bank account that's linked to his damage. But unlike, you know, the way that we look at regel or eish or boar or whatever, what we're saying here is it's the maisa hezek of the animal. Kavanasa lahazek, mishunet, right? We don't say, oh, you did it agav your animal, or choser shmira. We say, no, the animal damaged, the animal gored, bad animal, right? Kavanasa lahazek, nasty Bessie, correct? But Bessie doesn't have his own bank account, Bessie has your bank account, but Bessie did it. So you can't pay more than Bessie's worth. Right? You shouldn't have to pay for Bessie's, you know, bad behavior more than Bessie. Bessie would have paid. Bessie's not going to pay more than Bessie is. Right? That's what I think it is. But okay. Anyway, the Gemara says, Vami boy boy, Rabba. Rabba wasn't so sure that Chatzi Nezek Tsroros pays Min Aliyah. That's fascinating. The Bai Rava Chatzin Nezek Tsoros Migufa Mishalim or Min Aliyah Mishalim. So the Gemara says the Rava Mibai Lay, the Rav Papa Pshita Lay. Rava wasn't sure about it, but Rav Papa was. Right, the Rava the Mibai Lay Amai Karolei Tolda the Regel. According to Rava, who's not sure about Aliyah and Gufo, in what sense is Chatzin Nezek Tsoros a din in Regel? The answer is Lepocho Mishas Harav. There's another issue in Regel, and that is, that differentiates it from Karen, that is the Ptur of Rosh Hasharab. And what that Ptur is based on, we discussed already a little bit, briefly. Namely, it's Gzeiros HaKasuv. That was what the Rosh originally suggested. The Rif says, Urche Bekach. The Rosh understood that meant that, you know, we're not going to police, you know, you when you walk your elephant in Rosh Hasharab, and we're not going to be, you know, expecting every second that you should be policing him. I thought it didn't mean that. I thought that the Rif and the Rambam had in mind something a little different, and that is it's not considered a Maisa Hezek. If it's, you know, permitted, and it's a natural, it's, you know, kind of agav type of Nezek. But okay, either way, that is what we're saying. That's true for Tsroros too, and it makes total sense, both of these explanations. Gzeiros HaKasuv, fine, that's Gzeiros HaKasuv. But if you give the explanation of what are you going to do, police him every second, that's too draconian, meaning a policy idea. Or my idea, which is, it's not a Maisa Hezek, it's Nezek that took place, agav, normal behavior. Chatzi Nezek Tsoros is totally normal behavior. The animal's walking, you know, and that's typical and normal. The only thing is, Nebuch, you know, he stepped down in a normal way, and then this stone flew up and, you know, and broke your car windshield. Right? So, it's still not a Maisa Hezek, it's still Hezek Agav, you know, and it's still too difficult to, you know, to be sticking so close to the animal, you know, make sure that nothing happens while he walks normally in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Okay. Anyway, that's the Shaka V'Tari, the Gemara. Good. So now I want to zero in on Adam for a minute. So what we have so far in Adam. Is the idea of Kocho that we discussed already, Rashi and the Rambam and some of the implications. The Gemara also originally thought that maybe Er and Yashan, you know, might, Yashen rather, might be Avin Tolda, and the Gemara rejected that. Okay, good. The Gemara also quotes the language of the Mishnah, Adam Muad Liolam, Bein Er, Bein Yashen. Okay. Where does that come from? We'll see in a moment. That's the Mishnah on Chabav Amram. So first let's turn our attention for a minute to Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara revisits Adam. Okay, we've seen these Gemaras already, some of them, because we're jumping around a little bit. The Gemara says as follows. Ushmul my tamale amakarav. Almost in the middle of page Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says Ushmul my tamale amakarav. Why does Shmuel disagree with Rav? Who's Shmuel and who's Rav again? Shmuel says that Mave in the Mishnah, the mysterious Mave, is Shem. Rav says Mave is Adam. Why? Why does Shmuel not agree with Rav? Okay. So the Gemara says Amalach Isol Kedaitach Adam. Haktani Seifa. There's another Mishnah, and the Seifa, another, it's the next Mishnah, that says, Shor Amuad v'Shor HaMazik b'Rishus HaNizak. Right? These are all Chayiv. V'Ha Adam. And Adam is Chayiv. So since that Mishnah, the Seifa, meaning the next Mishnah, you know, they're saying, Kilo, it's like one Mishnah, and it's the end of the double Mishnah, says Ha Adam. So Ha Adam is already in the Mishnah. So it's not likely that Mabet is Adam. Well, it's not twice in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Velitzni Beresha, right? Why not mention Adam in the first part? I mean, Arba Avos Zikin. So why are you waiting till to the end of the double Mishnah to say Vaha Adam? Meaning, if it's true that the reason that you are denying that Mava means Adam is because he's in the end of the Mishnah, so what basically the Gemara is just saying, that begs the question. Like, so why isn't Adam in the beginning of the Mishnah when we're enumerating, you know, the Nizkei Mammon? Why is it only in the end, you know, when it's just mentioned? Agav, says the Gemara, this is very important, Bin Nizkei Mammon Kamairi, Bin Nizkei Gufa Lo Kamairi. Oh. The beginning of the Mishnah is dealing with Nizkei Mammon. The end of the Mishnah is dealing with Nizkei Gufo. Now again, that isn't just a fact. But what's important about the statement, there are two ways to take the statement. One is technicality. I mean, the Gemara is just trying to explain the Metzius, just why is the Mishnah structured the way that it is? Why isn't Adam mentioned with the others? The answer is because it's a little different. That's Nezek done more indirectly by his property. And this is Nezek done by man, right, direct. Niske Gufo. Fine. Or, again, not so, you know, I don't want to make so much of it, but, or what we're really saying is that the categories of Niske Gufo and Niske Mamono are fundamentally different. Right? And this doesn't belong with Niske Mamono, because it's Niske Gufo, meaning different Mechaivim, which will be very important for what we're about to discuss. So the Gemara says, V'Rav Nami, Haktani Adam B'Seifa. What will Rav respond to this? It does say in the next Mishnah, the end of the next Mishnah, Adam. So the answer is Amalach Rav, Ahu, Lemechshva Vahanimua Dinudasa. The end of the second Mishnah is to teach you when we apply the din of Muad. So we're saying, oh, if this is Bershus, if it's you know, Bershus Anizak, etc., or Adam. I mean, Adam is always a Muad. That's all. Right? But it's still important to enumerate Adam together with the other Avos Nezikin, to tell you the category. So first we're defining the category, and then later on we're also telling you an extra prat. Don't think, you know, that Adam has, you know, three chances. Okay? He's a muad liola, mitchil. Good. Then the Gemara says, my lohare, because the Mishnah says, lohare this, kare that, lohare the next thing, like the one after. So if now mava means Adam, you know, if mava means shame, so then you have to read the, this isn't like that, that isn't like this. So you say, oh, this isn't like regel, because this is hanola zeka, you know, it's not like it. But what if it's Adam? So the answer is, lohare hachikamar. Lohare ashor, right, shem shalom is a kofer, kireya Adam, shem shalom is a kofer. This is a very difficult Gemara. Meaning, what bothered the Gemara here is as follows. If the Nezikin of the Mishnah, the Avos Nezikin, are all Nizkei Mamon, so it's probably not so difficult to come up with, you know, chumras or kulas, you know, for each. Right? Because in no case do you have the man who's paying directly involved. Right? It's all one step removed. So it's his bor, it's his aish, it's his shein, it's his regal, it's his karen. You know, we can always come up with, you know, a hierarchy in both directions. You know, Karen is coming us alazik, Karen is Meshuga. You know, Shein Yeshano Lazeka, but it's not coming us alazik. Regel, you know, is Matsui, but it's Orche, so on and so forth. Bor is, you know, Ein Darko Leilach alazik, but it's Skilis Asiyas alazik, etc. Fine. But if we're talking in the Mishnah about Adam, and they're saying, lohare this, kare that, lohare that, kare this, where's the other side? Right? When it comes to Adam Amazik, that should be clearly the most chamor, because it's direct. He did it. So the Gemara says, you have to, according to Rav, that's a problem. Says the Gemara, my lohare, hachikamar, lohare ashar, shem mishalim is a kofer, kare ha Adam, shem mishalim is a kofer. There's a chumra in shor that doesn't exist in Adam. Blood money. Ransom. Okay, not ransom, but for the pirates. I mean, you know, dmei hanerak. Namely, when you have an animal killing a human being, there's tashlume kofer. Right? Especially in Karen Mua. So there's tashlume kofer. But an Adam never pays. Adam shehemis Adam doesn't pay tashlume kofer. Oh, why not?
He's getting out of getting killed. I mean, it's like a substitute for getting
killed. Exactly. So that's a problem. That's why I said it's a very difficult Gemara. You're 100% right. V'lorei Adam, we've seen a moment, Tosas. V'lorei Adam, v'lorei Adam, shechai b'dalad varim, kiriya shor, shem b'dalad varim. Now that part is easy, right? When it comes to chovel b'chaveiro, Adam shemazik Adam, right, he pays not only the nezek, right, but he pays all dimensions of the chaval. Nezek, tzar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. Right, he pays, you know, doctor's fees, he pays for the pain, you know, he pays for lost days of work, right, he pays for boshes. All that is only in Adam hachovel as the Adam. So that's a big chumrah. Okay, that's understood. But the kofar part is really strange. So just a taste of it for a second. There's an interesting discussion in Tosis and then Tosa Rush, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing now because it'll take too long, and I really want to get, you know, to more basic question. But just look very quickly. Kareya Adam Shein Mishalim is a kofar. So Hik Shariva. Exactly what you asked. Right? You're 100% right. My Chumra Hizu. You know, the fact that he doesn't pay kofar, if the idea was that, you know, paying kofar was an unadulterated Chumra, you know, and he was potter from it, then that would be fine. But why doesn't he pay chumra, says Tosas? Right? Because he's getting the death penalty. Since he's getting the death penalty, he doesn't pay kofar. Right? He can't. It's not a small little point that you're forgetting. He doesn't pay the blood money because he can't pay the blood money because it doesn't do him any good. Now, Tosas asks a question in a little bit of a more extreme way. Namely, you know, if the reason that there's no kofar is because he's getting killed, you know, then clearly that's a chumra. Right? Which leaves you open to Tosas' answer which is v'tireis to shogeg nami potter. Midatan of the Bechizkiah. Tan of the Bechizkiah, as we know, is the din of chayve misos shogegin peturin, which means that if you're involved in a capital offense, and if you're done at b'mezid, you'd be getting the death penalty, b'mezid or b'hasra, right? But you didn't, right? There's no hasra, or you did a b'shogeg. Take the classical case for the moment. So even though you don't get the death penalty, I mean, you walk away from this offense, a free man, nonetheless, you don't pay the attendant or the related, the conjoined, chiyuv mum. Right? Because the principle of kamle bedravamine applies not only when you actually implement the capital punishment, but even when, right, it is, you know, not implemented, although, you know, it kind of characterizes or defines, you know, the crime. Says Tosas, oh, I found a case in Ochanami. If the reason that he's not paying kofar was only because he's always getting the death penalty, we wouldn't consider that to be a chumrah. But since there are cases where the animal ends up having to pay, you know, and walk away, and the human being walks away, you know, but doesn't pay, so that's a kula, right? Is that really a kula? So in the end of the day, right, again, it's not as if the reason he's not paying kofar is because he's considered to be less, you know, responsible for the death, right? So it's a little bit strange, especially the basic idea behind Tana de Bechizkia, or the best way to explain it, you could say it's a Gzeres HaKasu. I guess the best way to explain Tosis is it's a Gzeres HaKasu. I mean, he didn't do a capital offense, or at least he's not accountable or responsible, and he doesn't pay any dmei nerag either. Fine. But the simple pshat is that when you say Tana de Bechizkia, right, it's not just Gzeres HaKasu. There's a logic behind it. The logic behind it is what I call the eclipsing approach. I've mentioned it here many times, of Kamle Bedrabamine. Namely, he did this, you know, obscene thing. Let's say he did it by accident. Right? It's still a horrific, you know, act. And it just renders, you know, the monetary, you know, aspect of it, you know, kind of insignificant. It's almost, you know, unseemly, you know, to collect the money, you know, when a person's life has been lost. So in a way, even if technically, right, it's not a chumrah, because in this particular case, you know, he walks away free and the animal owner doesn't walk away free. So technically, you know, if you're just looking at, you know, tangible consequences, this is a kula, right? But it's still noveya from the chumrah. Namely, that in one case, a person, it's a wrongful death. I don't know the proper legal terminology. I guess, you know, there are people here who will correct me, I'm sure. Wrongful death? But if the animal...
Wrongful death action?
Yeah, wrongful death. Well, I'm saying, but in the other case, it's much more than that. Meaning he, you know, he killed him by accident. You know, it might be, what do we call that? Manslaughter? Shogun? Manslaughter? What's manslaughter? Manslaughter is if it's not intentional or if it's not premeditated.
Premeditated.
But it is intentional?
I don't think it's
what?
I didn't think
it was
criminal.
Okay. Yeah? What do we say? Premeditated? Manslaughter is if it's not premeditated? Or manslaughter is if it's even accidental?
Just manslaughter what?
Manslaughter as opposed to murder. In American law, is
even if it's not intentional.
Even if it's not intentional.
The classic case is if the automobile accident that was he's drunk.
No, even if he's not drunk. I see. And he's drunk, but he had no intention. Okay. But he's not shogeg. Can you be shogeg and be manslaughter?
That's not shogeg.
If you're accountable, though, because shogeg is something that you did, not onus.
That's accident. Shogun is accident.
Yeah, okay.
But intentional manslaughter, it happens all the time. I mean,
It's unintended, but it was.
Or he wanted to burn down the building and didn't know anybody was in it. That's
okay.
Manslaughter.
Right. Okay. So what I'm saying is, in the end of the day, what we're saying about Tana de Bechizkia, Chai b'Mitzvah Shogigin, Peturin, is that there is there's an accountability for the death. Even though, right, there's no ability to punish for it. Or to punish for it in that way. So is that a kula? If that's the reason that you're Pater Mikofer? That's an open question. Okay, so I don't want to get into it right more than that, but you see what's going on. It's a very interesting problem. Okay, the Ri has a different. The Omer Ri, the Lav Pircha Klal, the Lo Niftar Mishum Kim Le Medraba Mine, the Kan Nami Ein Shaykh Lahaskir Tanu de Bechizkia, the Lakamim Perik Beis, Mashma De Ilav Kroda, Allah Velo Allah Adam, Havayafinan Adam Mishor, She is Chayv Mezid, Misa, the Kofar. May Olav Patrile, Afilu Shogeg Dumya the Shdumya, the Shum the Ain Mazed Lashor. Matan of the Bechiski de Poter, Afilu Shogeg, Hainu Mamon Shehizik Beshaschiv Misa. So basically, the Re is a very interesting perspective. Says, no. Maybe he wouldn't, maybe for the reason that we just said, possibly, meaning. In the end of the day, Tana de Bechizkia still reflects, presumably, again, technically, it's a kula, but it's noveya, conceptually, from a chumra. Right? You did this dastardly deed, you did this deed that makes the money part almost, frivolous and obscene to go after, you got to charge him $100,000, It's, you're going to put a price on the man's head. Right? Says the Re, what does the Gemara mean? There's a difference between Kofar, the Chiv and the Patur of Kofar, and the question of Kabbalah Bedraba Mine. Kabbalah Bedraba Mine typically refers to the Chiv Mammon that takes place simultaneously, or maybe even in terms of as a tertiary or separate action that takes place that coincides with the Misa. Right, that's a din of Kamla Midrash Mine. But Kofar is a direct question about paying Dmei Aner Arag. Right, do you pay for the death? That's what Kamla Midrash Mine is typically. Kamla Midrash Mine is you burnt down his field by making a fire on Shabbos, right? So there's the Shabbos violation is a capital crime if you do it b'mezid, right? And there's nezek that takes place. Here we're talking about you murdered the man, and we're trying to figure out whether separate from the death penalty, you also have to pay the kofar money, for his. For his death. Says Tosis, if not for the Gzeres HaKasuv of a love, how does it go again? A love below al adam, ume a love patur le afilu shogeg dumi deshum dein mezid l'shor. Right, the tana de bechisked. What is tana de bechisked to poter? Hainu mamon shehizik b'shaschi u'misa. Afuki maman d'dorish perik elu nairis hoi mi ason lo yanesh. The dafka din ason aso chizkiya v'ashminu lav dafka din ason lo yanesh al afilu shogeg lo yanesh. Okay? So that's an interesting discussion. A, is the p'tur of Adam in Kofar, Adam shebrotzeach, or Adam shememis, or shehoreg, is he pata mikofer midin kamle midrab? That's one interesting argument in the Rishonim. Whatever the mikoros are, is that a separate din or the same din? Is that treated like dmei mamon acher? You might say kol shekain. If you don't pay dmei mamon acher, you certainly aren't going to pay dmei anerag or kofer dmei anerag. Man arrow could have been two things too. Namely, the value of the person, if you, Lu Yutsu, you could put a price on it. You know, his work, his, you know, what his family has lost in terms of, financial, well-being and so on and so forth. And that's one issue. And then there's kofar, is in terms of kapara. Do you get some kapara, by paying some damin, which is what happens when Shor is mamis as Adam, Shor Muad is mamis as Adam, right? So is that like more than Kamalei B'Drava Minei? Or it's a totally different halacha, Lekula and Lechumra. Okay, that's one argument. And the second argument, just in Tosis, there are other Rishonim too. Second argument is, when you are Patur because of Chayve Misas Shogim Pturin, because of Tana the Bechizkia, so technically that's a kula. If you're a very pragmatic man, then it's a kula. Right? Because you walk away from the death. Well, you're a free man, and you're not, your bank account is fully intact as well. So we're more severe on the animal owner, than we are on the murderer. And the murderer, we'll call him the manslaughter. Right? But the other way to look at that is, that it's still Novea from the Chomer Hadabar, which makes it unseemly or obscene, or which just crowds out or eclipses even the Mechayev, never mind going after the Chiyuv. So that's an interesting question. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on and says the following. Hatzara Shavu Shabahem, Shadarkan Lahazik, now going back to the Mishnah, Hatzara Shavu Shabahem, Shadarkan Lahazik, right? So the Gemara, v'chishor darko lahazik, b'muad. U'b'muad darko lahazik. Says the Gemara, a muad is derech lahazik. Kivin the yaid, urchahu. Okay, fine. Then the Gemara says, adam darko lahazik. Is it a man typically damaged? You look at a man walking in the street and say he's like, he's a disaster waiting to happen. He's an attacker, waiting to spring, and to destroy his prey. That's how you look at people. Says the Gemara, the Yashen, he's sleeping. When a person is sleeping, they're not necessarily in control. People move around in their sleep. So, he's an Omeid Lahazik. He's Dark Lahazik when he's asleep. Okay, fine. It's interesting because before, the Gemara thought the possibility was that you're an Av. The Av is when you're awake, right? And the Told is when you're asleep. Okay, so some of the Rishonim point that out. Either way, says the Gemara, Yashen Darka Lahazik. What do you mean the person sleep? He's a Mazik. So the Gemara says, Kivin the Kaifu Pashit, Urcheu. Yeah, people stretch and they move and they, toss and they turn. Right before they came up with the, all these magical, pillows and, and whatever, which probably proves they don't work, according to the Gemara, right? I don't know. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. And what about Shmiras and Olecha? Because the Mishnah says, right, Dark Alahazik, Shmiras and Olecha. So Bishlomo, if we're talking about Niske Adam, Niske Mamon, meaning your cow, your boar, your Eish, right? So Shmiras and Olecha. Those words make sense, meaning you are responsible for reining in, for controlling, this commodity of yours. But Adam, Shmiras Gufa Alav, who? Yeah, you'd use the expression that, you're responsible, to guard yourself. That's a just cumbersome formulation, right? Ah, says the Gemara, B'li Tamech, Hod Tani Karna, Arba Avos Hazikim Ba'ada Echamehan. Karna, person, he actually said explicitly, there are Arba Avos Hazikim, the Zikim. Now here we have Rav and Shmuel, we're trying to figure out who the author of our Mishnah. So we're saying, how can it be? How can it be like Rav? I mean, the language, Mirasan Alecha, doesn't work. So the Gemara says, not such a terrible question. Karna explicitly said that the Arba Avos Hazikim include Adam, right? Adam Echad Mehem, Adam Shmiras Gufala. What would Karna say? Didn't deter Karna from reading the Mishnah this way? Obviously, it's plausible to read it this way. So we can read it this way for Rav too. Says the Gemara, Elik the Amalei Rabbavo, the Tana, right? Tani, what we mean is Adam Shmiras Gufa Alav. We don't mean that, you know, you're responsible as if you're, you know, you're the owner of yourself and therefore you're a third party. What we mean is that you're responsible to make sure that you're not a danger, that you're not a peril to other people. It's a very fine nuance, right? It's another, instead of saying, if you damage, you have to pay, we're saying you're responsible, you know, to make sure that you're not a peril to others. Okay, is that a technicality or it means more? That's what I want to get to in a minute. Hachanami tani adam shmiras kufa alav. Okay. So this idea, this final idea, which could have just been a linguistic question and a linguistic answer, it's a little cumbersome. This is what we mean by it. You could say, you know, don't damage, or if you damage, you pay. Or you could say, make sure, be constantly vigilant, you know, that you are not a walking, you know, peril to other people. Right? Oh. Or maybe these different formulations, conceptually and legally, are important. Why so? In what way? For the following reason. The question is this. The Gemara, the Mishnah later on Chav Vav Amud Aleph, if we turn to that for a moment. I think we have it in the Talmud. Do I have it? Yeah. Or you can look at the Mishnah, either way. And this is the famous Mishnah that was quoted earlier. The Mishnah says that Adam Muad Li'Olam. Right, a man is always a Muad. Right? But it means much more, right, than it might have meant. Right? It could have just meant what the Mishnah, what the Seifa, as the Gemara calls it, meant. Namely, that when it comes to Adam, there's no Tam. Right? Keren Tam, you know, has three strikes. Right? It's only Chatzi Nezek, Miguf. So if we say Adam Muad Li'Olam, we could have thought that also. That means that Adam is always a Muad. Right? The first time he does damage, he's already fully responsible. But what the Mishnah establishes is that it means much more than that. Right? Adam Muad Li'Olam, Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid. Doesn't matter whether or not he does it intentionally or inadvertently. Bein Er, Bein Yashen, whether he's awake, whether he's sleeping. Sima es ayin es ein chavero, right? If he, you know, blinded his neighbor, the shiver es kalim, or he destroyed his, you know, property, the shalim nezek shalim. In all cases, he pays nezek shalim. There's no chatzin nezek, but we're all now being told also bein er ben yashin bein shogeg bein meis. Okay, the Gemara says, right? Ktani sima es ayin ein chavero domi the shiver es kalim. What's this connection in the Mishnah? Mahasam nezek in arba dvarim lo. That if a person is involved in destroying somebody's property, right? There's only nezek, right? So af simes ein chavero, right? So too, if somebody unintentionally blinds his friend, right? Nezek in arba dvarim lo. Since he did it inadvertently, right, he doesn't pay arba dvar. Anonymously, so the Gemara Amar Chizkia, v'chein tana de bein Chizkia, Amar krav petza tachas patza, l'chayiv, how do you know this din of Adam Muad Li'Olam? Petza tachas patza, the Rishonim explain, including Rashi, it's an extra pasuk, you don't really need it. Kavayin tachasayin, shein tachasayin, petza tachas patza, one of them is, this one is completely miyutar. L'chayivo ala shogeg kemezir, that's the Mishnah. But here we have an additional one. The al ha'ones kiratzon. What's the difference between shogeg and ones? Shogeg means an accident. But there's always a level of cognizance, of awareness. That's what I was asking before about, what constitutes manslaughter, right? And what the line is, right? there's a difference between onus and shogeg, right? Shogeg is certainly unintentional, it's even accidental. I'm not even sure if that's manslaughter. But onus doesn't mean, onus isn't just unintentional, it's certainly accidental. But as we'll see in a minute, there are different levels of accidents. Right? Okay. So the Gemara basically is introduced beyond shogeg and yashen, right? Both of which are already extenuating circumstances far short of mezid. The Gemara has now introduced the idea of onus. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Imkein liftev kra petza bipetza." I'm sorry, I skipped something. So the Gemara says, "Hami boy leilitein tsar b'makom nezek." Don't you need petza tachas patza to teach you that when you pay a nezek, you still pay tsar? One could have thought they only pay tsar when there is no nezek. Let's say you caused him pain, but you didn't in any way diminish his ability, right, to be productive, right? You didn't damage anything that in any way undercuts his value as a worker. So maybe only that kind of tsar you're chayiv. Petza tachas patza, we're told, is to teach you that even when you're chayiv nezek, you still have to pay tsar. Tsar isn't a substitution. It's not when there's only tsar. Okay. Says the Gemara, imkei lichtav kura petza bipetza, my tachas petza, shma minatarti. Also to teach you, bain ones, bain ratzon, bain er, bain yashen, bain shoge, bain meis. Then the Gemara goes on, amarava, fascinating case. The person is has a stone in his lap, right? And he wasn't aware of it ever, or he forgot about it, whatever it is, right? The amad, and he stands up, right? Venafla, and the stone falls down, right? And it does damage. So the halacha is that le'inyan zikin chayev katzadam u'liolam. You know, that seems like a pretty, again, unless you think it's kind of a negligence, but certainly it looks like what we call misasek, right, where the person doesn't know what he's doing. Not he's doing something, you know, but he has something else in mind, or he did it but accidentally, or he did it coerced, you know, a state of coercion or an accident. More than that, he's just unaware, right? He doesn't know he has a stone in his lap. When he's standing up, basically. And agav, this happens. Linyan arba dvarim, regarding chovel, where you need some sort of a kavana, right, you're going to be potter. Because you're only going to pay the nezek, you're not going to pay the other arba dvar. Linyan Shabbos, a very important gemara. Malechas machsheves asra Torah. You'll be potter. Fascinating. The gemara says, because of malechas machsheves asra Torah. Okay? Rabbi Kivager was very troubled by this Gemara. We've mentioned it past years for people who are here. The famous tshuva of Rabbi Kivager about misasek. Whether misasek is considered to be a maisa veira, right? But you're potter mikorban, because misasek is less than shogeg. Right? Shogeg, again, is a level. You know what you're doing in shogeg, you just make an intellectual error. I didn't know it was Shabbos. I knew that I was being Zoreya. I just didn't know that today was Shabbos. I got my days mixed up. Or, I know today is Shabbos, right? I know that I'm doing Zoreya, but I didn't know that Zoreya is one of the Lamites of Malacha. I thought it was only Noteya. Or I missed that shear completely. Right? Whatever it is. That's an intellectual error. Or, I think that this is a Talush, but it's really mechubar. That might be actually misasek, but that's already a bit of a question. Okay, so basically what's fascinating is the Gemara here seems to be talking about misasek. Misasek is, you know, I'm not aware that I'm doing it at all. But there are two misaseks, at least according to the Bali Tosas. Misasek, according to some sugyas, seem to be a universal din, a universal p'tur. Gemara says in Sanhedrin that misasek b'chalavim v'arayos is chayiv, right? Shekeinen. That if you're misasek and you eat, food, treifa food, whatever, or you're boel lebilas iser, that you're chayiv shekeinen. Even though you didn't know what you were doing or didn't realize what you were doing, you still got the benefits from it, and that makes you chayiv. Whatever, however that works. The implication is that non-chalav varayas, your potter, even if it's not Hilchos Shabbos. Right? However, the Gemara in Krisus tells us that, you know, if somebody did the, he mixed up the babies, right? One baby is supposed to have a bris on Shabbos, Bismano, and the other baby is supposed to have a bris, you know, not on Shabbos. Okay? Maybe it was supposed to be on Friday, let's say. And therefore you have to really wait till Sunday. You can only be, you know, mol on Shabbos for Mila Bismano. So if you mix up the babies, the Gemara says that's misasek, you know, and melachas machsheves osro Torah. The Bali Tosis point out, it seems like there are two bases for misasek being potter. One is specifically Hilchos Shabbos melachas machsheves osro Torah, and the other one is, you know, a ptur in kol Torah kula, a broader ptur. Right? So Rabbi Kiveger in his tshuva says, I don't understand why the Gemara here mentions Malach Machsheves Asra Torah. This seems like, you know, the regular Misasek. Bali Tosis are the following opinion. They say, what's it, why do you have two Misaseks? How does it work? So they came up with the following idea. This is Tosis all over the place. Tosis in Shabbos, Tosis twice in Shabbos, I think. Tosis in Sanhedrin, Krisus. Tosis said the following. There's a Misasek where Hiskavein Lasos Heter v'asa iser. That's the misasik of Kol Torah Kula. So on Shabbos, for example, that would be miskaven lachtoch es atolush, right? V'chatach es hamechubar. Right? He tried to, he thought that what he was doing was, again, whether he mixed up the objects or, you know, he just misidentified the object. That's the question, whether what's Misasek, what is showing me. But that's not for now. Let's just leave it at it is for the moment. So the point is, he thought he was doing to be Chotech as a Talu, which is not an Av Malacha. So he thought he was doing a Dvar Heter, and he ended up doing a Dvar Iser. The Bali Tosa say that is called Misasek Mekoa Torah Kula. Okay? Niskavein Lachtoch Mechubar Zeh Bechotach Mechubar Acher. But he tried to cut an attached object, right? But he got the wrong one. Lo ala machshavto. But he was trying to do the oak tree, you know, and he ended up, instead cutting the spruce tree. Right? So, in both cases, he had kavanah to do the iser. But he didn't get what he wanted. Lo ala machshavto. So the Bali Tosa said, that's the misasek that is specific to Hilchot Shabbos, about which we say, you know, Melech Tzmachshev is Asr Torah. So Rabbi Kiveger says, I don't understand this Gemara. This is like the, you know, the guy doesn't know he has a stone in his pocket. He stands up and somehow he does some Melacha. Meaning, his Kavanah was Laheter, and he did an Iser. So why is the Gemara quoting Melech Tzmachshev is Asr Torah? Moreover, why would you quote Melech Tzmachshev is Asr Torah if something is more universal? Oh. So this is Rabbi Kiveger's famous Chap. Rabbi Kiveger says, I've just been discussing the question in this tshuva, what is the status of misasek? Is misasek, you know, basically a ptur, just that shogeg you bring a karban and misasek you don't even bring a karban? But you, in both cases, you do the ma'isa aveira. Or is misasek a hafka asaisa aveira? Not even considered an aveira at all. Shogeg is certainly a ma'isa aveira. That's why you bring a chatos. Misasek is not a ma'isa aveira at all. Okay. Ma'inafkamina, oh. So Rabbi Kiveger says two things. No, he said a few things, but we'll just suffice with two, the main two. One is, you see the guy about to do it, is it your obligation to be poreshim and aveira? Are you obligated to say to him, stop? Right? If it's a ma'isa aveira, even though there's no korban, you know, but he's still doing a ma'isa aveira, so you call yourself l'reim zelazeh. Right? It's not about the punishment most of the time. It's about doing the act itself, right? It's an egregious, halachically egregious action. You have to stop him if you can. Right? But if you think that there's no ma'isa aveira, so let him do it. What do you care? No one's the worse for wear. That's one nafka mina. But the bigger nafka mina, he says, is kam le bedraba mina. Oh, what do you mean kam le bedraba mina? Tana de bechiskia, what we talked about before, have this amazing idea. Right? Even though you're not chayev misa, right? You still don't pay the money. Why? Because you did a maisa avera shel misa. But let's say you didn't do a maisa avera shel misa. Let's say you're patur, not because there's no capacity to be manish you. Let's say you're patur because what you did doesn't qualify as a maisa avera. Right? So then it's not going to become a drama meaning. So for example, the whole discussion in the sugya there, like somebody showed him one, like in Hilchos Shabbos, what about Melachshen Tzuchel Gufo, what about Bekalko, what about, you know, other things. Oh, so Rabbi Kveger says the following brilliant thing. He says, listen, the Gemara talks about a case where you did this, right? Hoysa Evan Menuach Zabecheko, Lehikir Ba'omad Benafla, Linyan Nezakin Chayiv, Linyan Arba Dvarim Potter, Linyan Shabbos, Melachmos Shabbos Osra Tar. So it's a clever. The Pashtus, the Gemara is saying, in this area of Halacha, this is the case, in this area of Halacha, it's this, in this area of Halacha, it's that. Rabbi Kveger says, no, no, no. What they meant was, let's say you do these things, even if you do them all at the same time. So you're sitting, quietly. You have this Evan on your lap, and then you get up, and this Evan, what if it did this? What if it did this? What if it did this? What if? Let's say you did all these things together. I don't know how that would happen, but it doesn't make a difference, right? And the Nezek, let's say Nezek and Shabbos. So it went to Dalet Amos, maybe. And it also destroyed a kli. All right? So, but what are we saying? That you're potter from Shabbos, but you're chayv in Ezekiel. Right? Well, what happened to Kam Lebedraba Minei? Tana de Bechinskia. Says Rabbi Kveger, that's why the Gemara, this is just, you have to just be a genius to think of this. I don't know. He says, that's why the Gemara uses the Melech Tzmach Shabbos Asra Torah paradigm, and not the Kol HaTorah Kula. Because what they're trying to find is a case where you're Chayev Nezek, right, even though you're Potter from Hilchos Shabbos, in the same case. So should you be Chayev Nezek? What about Tana de Bechiskia? Because we need a case of Mesasek, which isn't just a Ptur, but which is a Hafkos Maisa Avera. Right? So then you're just doing the Mazik. There's no Kabbalah B'drava Minei anymore. So he said, So then he adds the following, I think counterintuitive, but very reasonable, once you acknowledge that it's counterintuitive, perspective, and that is, what would you think would be more of a Hafkas, Maisa Avera, and Masase? The narrower Hilchos Shabbos one, or the broader Kol HaTorah Kula one? So I would guess that almost everybody, except for the most iconoclastic among us, would say that the Kol HaTorah Kula one is more likely to be Hafkas Maisa Avera, because there's a bigger gap between what you think you're doing and what you end up doing, as opposed to the narrower one, the Hilchos Shabbos one, which is only because of Melech Tzmach Shabbos is it considered. And you want to do Malacha, you want to do Kotzer, you want to kotzer the spruce tree and not the oak tree, or vice versa. Right? Not such a big difference. Okay? The chiddush is that that's still Mesasek, which is pot. That's what I would have said. Rabbi Kveger, maybe because of this reconstruction, says, no, that's not true. It's the opposite. Why? Melech Tzmach Shabbos is a standard in Hilchos Shabbos. So what we're saying is that in order to qualify as a Maisa in Hilchos Shabbos, you have to have like a very high level of awareness. Anything less than that is not called the Maisa in Hilchos Shabbos. So even though the Misasek, meaning the quality of the Misasek, is far less compelling, right? The reason that it's Misasek is because Hilchos Shabbos has raised the bar so much, right? That to qualify as a Maisa in Hilchos Shabbos, right, requires, much more. So Rabbi Kveger says, that's why the Gemara says what it does. You know, it's a case of Kol Torah Kula. There's still also Melech Tzmachshavah Sasra Torah. They're emphasizing Melech Tzmachshavah Sasra Torah because they want to make sure there's no Tana the Beit Hizkia. They want a Mesasek where you're Hafkas by Savera, and that's the counterintuitive. That's Dafka the Melech Tzmachshavah one, not the Kol Torah Kula one. Anyway, that's how he reads the Gemara. Good. What comes out of this Gemara? That Adam Muad Liolam Bein Er, Bein Yashen, Bein Shogeg, Bein Meiz, and most important, Bein Ones, right? Bein Ratzo. Even Misasek is Chai from Asek. Is there anything that you're, any tour, any limit when it comes to Adam Muad Liolam? In this Gemara, it would seem none. However, there is counter evidence or contrary evidence about this question in the Babli and the Yerushalmi. There seem to be cases where you're patur, even though you did the mazik. There seems to be pturei onus. For example, Yerushalmi quoted in Tosis on Dalet Amud Aleph, and again, in a minute we'll see on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to stop, but we'll have to continue with this next week. Look on Dalet Amud Aleph. Tosas Dibra Maskil, Kivin the Kaif Upashit Urchayu. Everybody with me? Birushalmi Yesh. And Tosas quotes this again on Chavzainu and Beis, again in what's sorry? On Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskil, Kivin the Kaif Upashit Urchayu. He's talking about the guy sleeping and he's like moving around. Okay? So this Yerushalmi is quoted here. It's quoted again in Chavzayin Amud Beis and Tosas. It's quoted again in Pei Beis, Amud Beis, and Bam Metziah, which we have in the Maram Komos. It's quoted by the Ramban. It's discussed by the Rambam. A very popular Yerushalmi. Listen to the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Yesh, the Yashen, Lo Mechayiv, Elikesh Hishkiv Atzmo Eitzel Kelim. This idea that a person whose damages in his sleep, this Chayiv, is only in a situation where the Davar HaNizak preceded him. Somebody put a Ming Dynasty vase, you know, on right near his bed, and he went to sleep. Okay, Aval im Yashen, if he went to sleep first, and then the Heviu Kalim Etzlo, they brought the expensive fragile object, and they put it next to him, within stretch, space of his nocturnal movements, the Shavron Patur. So that's Yerushalmi. But he did it, right? Now, if you notice carefully, the Tosis here says, Dehaim Gormula. Because the person who put the vase there, or the person who slept there after he was already sleeping, they brought this on themselves. Is that going to be? We'll see if that's significant or not. The chenema yashen v'halachaver lishon. The same thing. The zikuzesa rishon potter va'achron chay. So that's one. The second one is the sugya on Chav Zayin itself. I'm just going to talk about the evidence. We'll talk about the case next week. The sugya on Chav Zayin. You have it in the Maram Komos. You have it here on the sheet also. You'll see. The Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph and the Gemara. Just very quickly, we'll get it on the record. We'll talk about the positions next week. Hameniach hasakad b'rishus haravdim. Okay, a person puts a chavis right in rishus haravdim. Uba acher v'nitkal ba, and somebody bangs into it as he puts his object in rishus haravdim, and somebody trips on it or bangs into it. The shavra. And that person destroys the object. The halacha is patur. V'im huzak ba, if he's injured by it, balachav is chay beniska. But the person, in the first case, destroyed the object. What happened to Adam Muad Liola? Right? So the Gemara, if you look here on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, or in the sheets, either way, the two dots, the Gemara says, amai patur. He should be looking where he's going. He should be cognizant of his surroundings. Amr de Rav, Mishmei de Rav, Bim Mamali Rushus Rabim Kula Chavios. You know, he can't navigate it. The whole place is filled with these objects. Right? Or Shmuel Amar Ba Fela Shanu. right? He's walking around in the dark. You know, there's no light or not sufficient light. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bekeren Zavis. Right, he turns, he's walking and he has to turn a corner. And all of a sudden, boom, right at the corner where he couldn't have seen it, you know, earlier, right, he bangs into something. Then it shouldn't matter that he trips. The first case. Then the Gemara says, Omar le Rababa le Rabashi, Hachami b'maraba mishmedrab Ula, Shein Darkon Shom Danim Lizbonim Bedrachim. Hava Uda bin Ardoi Bechayev, Shmuel, Bepumbedisa Bechayev Rabba, etc. Are people off? It's a fascinating question, right? To what extent are pedestrians, you know, responsible for what happens to them, for what happens to things, you know, on the street? A very basic, you know, issue and concept in any society. What comes out of all this, and this is what we're going to discuss next week, is it seems like there are exceptions to the rule of Adam Mor Leolam. It seems like there are cases where he did the damage, and he's potter. Why is that different than Anus? These are cases of Anus. But the Gemara previously said, Bein, not only Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid, Bein Er, Bein Yashin, but Bein Ones, Bein Ratzon. What's the difference between Ones and these cases? That's what we're going to pick up next week. We'll discuss Tosis and Muki Yosef, the Rambam and the Ramban, and then we'll move on.